And now let us share the words of Scripture. First of all, from Acts 2, verses 1 through 4. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. And now from Romans 8, verses 35 through 39. Who will separate us from the love of God? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord.
I miss public access TV. I just need to share that with you. Brian and I have DirecTV, so we don't get the wonderful public access TV shows that we did when we had cable. You know, the channels where everybody and anybody can reserve a time slot and be on TV? There's a family in Fort Worth that used to show on Tuesdays and Saturdays 2 hours of home video that they had taped of air shows over the past 15 years. I mean, you're just riveted to the TV on that one. Some people share a craft or a skill they have, artists, singers, dancers, woodworkers, kazoo players, you name it. If we want, we can reserve time on a public access channel. Most of the time, though, the slots are filled with people expressing their religious beliefs. Some churches use public access channels to air their Sunday morning worships. Some people use the channel to share their insights into their own personal beliefs. It's the religious belief shows that always caught my attention. I'll never forget the day that I had just enough time to waste and not enough time to do what I really needed to be doing. On that particular day, I found myself sitting on the sofa and staring at the public access channels. As luck would have it, it hit upon a man who was standing at a podium much like this and reading scripture. He had a huge timeline graph picture thing hanging on the wall behind him. The timeline had many pyramids. Some were very small, some were very big, taking up a whole area of the timeline. Two places on the timeline appeared to be the focus of his message on this day. One place had a very narrow way to the next timeline. Another place had a highway-looking drawing that wasn't complete, much like our roads here in the Twin Cities, right? This gentleman spent a lot of time talking about the narrow way and reading scripture that speaks of very few people making it through the narrow way. He had several numbers that he concluded would be the number of people who will actually make it through the narrow way. I'm saying it that way because he said it that way, the narrow way. The narrow way led to a huge pyramid-type figure that then led to this highway-looking thing. Now, I'm probably doing this gentleman's message a disservice. Since I didn't catch the beginning of the program, I came into it about 10 minutes late. But in the part that I heard, I became very concerned about whether I fit anywhere in this timeline graph thing. I became worried because there was only a certain number of people that can make it on the narrow way, then I can probably count myself out. He said, and I quote, that only 144,000 will make it through the narrow way, and he understands that we have 147 people die every day. Did you catch that? Only 144,000 will make it, but there's 147,000 people dying every day. Now, I don't know if it's just in the United States or in the world or only Christians. I have no idea. But I took a deep breath, figured out my odds in all of the above categories, taking into account all of the people that have already died, and I pretty much decided none of us are going the narrow way because it's way beyond the legally posted capacity. At least by this man's understanding, I don't think we have a chance. So I moved on to the superhighway, which he called the Holy Highway. You need to know that highway is not yet finished. That's going to happen in another age. But if we're going to live eternally in the glory of God, I believe we will have a better chance if we aim to be on that particular highway. I need to share with you that the pyramids and arrows and lines and words and diagrams that are involved in the highway happening and us actually being on that highway are overwhelming. I remember getting a little anxious as I watched the show. It seemed like an overwhelming and daunting task. The gentleman said that the only way, if we miss out on the narrow way, the only way to get where we want to go is on this big highway, but that requires obedience. Then I was finding it really hard to breathe as I listened because he had an incredible list and understanding of what it means to be obedient. As he pushed along the timeline, the diagrams got more intense and the lines were going in different directions and the list of things we had to do to make it onto the highway were incredible. When the show was over, I sat there with my mouth open in utter disbelief because everything this man had shared, he could back up with Scripture. Every line, every pyramid, every word on his timeline, he could back it up with Scripture. Yet everything he said sounded like a foreign language to me. Everything he pointed to on his timeline made no sense to me. Even though I know that we can pull out what we can pull out of Scripture, his control and limit of God's Spirit and glory did not hit me as the message of the good news of Jesus Christ that we find Paul writing about to the church in Rome. All week, I've been thinking about this text. It's a favorite for us minister types to read at funerals. The text starts out with the question of, if God is for us, then who's against us? This sort of eliminates some big portions of the gentleman's timeline, just that question right there. God who has given us everything, won't this God also give us everything else? Who is it that will bring charges against God's people? Well, it's God. Who is it that will condemn? Well, that may not happen because Christ Jesus interceded for us. So then who or what will separate us from the love of God? Hardship, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, a sword? Isn't it written in the Psalms that God's people have always suffered in one way or another? Will any of these things separate us from the love of God we know in Jesus Christ? Paul says, no, none of these things will separate us. For Paul is convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says that the grace of God is beyond anything that we can comprehend. This is a grace that knows no boundaries. This is a grace that knows no limitations. This is a grace that is not confined to a certain age and time, a certain group of people, a certain number of people. There is not enough room for grace and a chart with who is in and who is out to share the same space. Nothing can separate us. There is even hope that all creation would be resurrected and released from the bondage of decay, to use Paul's words. And how does this happen? According to Paul, the Spirit of God comes to us and speaks for us even when we don't have the words. The Spirit of God is given as our strength, the very breath with which we breathe. It is through this Spirit that we understand that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Hear that again. Nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of God. And the text from Acts 2 shows us how this happens in a big way. On the 50th day after Easter, on the day of Pentecost, God's Spirit sounds and looks like the rush of a mighty wind and tongues of fire, And the disciples begin to speak so that all can understand. God's Spirit meets us in our own language and helps us to hear and understand each other. Where God's Spirit shows up, there is unity and all are included. Every language, every nation, all of creation is knitted and bound together as one as the Spirit of God flows through and around everyone gathered on Pentecost. There is no division, for all can understand. There isn't even a dominant language that everyone must learn to be accepted. As a child of God, all languages are equal. All people are equal. When the Spirit comes to town, all are reminded that nothing, absolutely nothing in this human world can separate us from the love of God. Oh, for those moments to happen on a daily basis, huh? Think about the differences that fill our world and the violence that emerges just because we don't agree with each other. Let the winds of the Spirit of God come flowing through and make us one. How many times have people been excluded because they don't dress right, talk right, they don't love the right gender, they don't live in the right part of town? Let the winds of the Spirit of God come flowing through and make us one. How can we allow these divisions to exist when the good news of Jesus Christ, the love of God we know through Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God that fills this world, proclaims that nothing can separate us from the love of God? So while the man on television took time to make a nice timeline with interesting graphics and can pull legitimate, real scriptures to talk of a narrow way that he might make, but most of us will not. I'm serious. There is no way I can think of that we can make it through and be part of only 144,000. And he talks of a holy highway that we're invited to walk, but most of us wouldn't make it a half a mile with all of the rules and regulations. So while this gentleman understands the limitations of life in Christ, Paul offers us a different understanding. I believe that Paul believed in the unifying Spirit of God that was poured upon us at Pentecost and made us church, made us the body of Christ. Paul offers us a God that is so much a part of creation that neither death and its anguish nor life and its dangers can separate us from the love of God. No power that exists in heaven as angels or on earth as rulers can do anything to anyone that will take the grace and love of God away. Talk about a mighty wind and life-giving flames. There's nothing in the present world today, and there will be nothing in the future of this world that can separate us from God. Neither height nor depth. These were considered cosmic and astrological forces. There's nothing in the highest height of the deepest depth that can keep God's mercy and grace from covering us. In fact, there is nothing else in all of creation, no other being, nothing seen, nothing unseen, nothing, not even ourselves. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. The man with the timeline put an incredible amount of work into his graph. And that timeline speaks nothing of the Spirit coming on Pentecost that made us one. That timeline speaks nothing of the never-ending, never-wavering, accept us as we are, love all of creation, love of God, that we read over and over and over again. It speaks nothing of what it means when we look around the room at all of the diversity sitting right here, and yet we come to the table together. That timeline does not include the table where we proclaim the love of God for all, even if we feel that we don't deserve the love of God. The Spirit is with us to even speak the words when we can't speak, don't have the energy to speak. So instead of a narrow way or a holy highway, I believe in a God that is inviting us to ride the mighty rush of the wind and the tongues of the flame that make us one. For nothing, nothing, my friends, hear me again and again, nothing can ever separate any of us from the love of God. Amen.